You know what? There was one thing I wanted to actually talk about. Because I did get into a rant about this yesterday, and it was so good. Not the rant, but the tweet. So yesterday I go on this big rant on Telegram, and I'm talking about the delusional nature of Republicans. I was kind of mad yesterday. I was kind of like pissed off. I was just kind of out of sorts. And I was just thinking about how sad it is. It really weighed on me, the gravity of the situation. You think about, and you know, this is my thing. You think about what we were promised in 2024. And it was two things. We were promised mass deportations and no new wars. That's it. Those were the big ticket items. Mass deportations and no new wars. And you fast forward a year and a half later, as you know, spoiler alert, we literally got the opposite. It's not like we didn't get them. We got the opposite of them. We got, instead of mass deportations and no new wars, we got a new war and no mass deportations at all. So it's about as clear and unambiguous of a betrayal as there could possibly be. And it's not like debatable. There are no mass deportations. It's not happening. They shut it down. They never got started. And whatever they were doing, they stopped. So that's off. And in case you haven't noticed, we're in a new war. We're in a war that we weren't in before. It's a war. It's brand new. Trump got us into it. So I can't really paint a clearer picture. We didn't get what we were promised. Everyone voted for one thing, and we got the opposite. We voted for mass deportations, no wars. We got a war, no mass deportations. Now, to me, it is then obvious what has to happen. So the people that did this to us now have to lose. Like, isn't that, to me, that just follows like a mathematical equation. It just logically follows. Okay, these people that we voted for, they promised us one thing, then they screwed us. They totally fucked us over. They rug pulled us. They lied or scammed us, or they broke the promise, however you want to say it. So they forfeited the mandate to govern. We voted for you to do these things. You've done the opposite. So now we don't want you to govern anymore. So it logically follows to me that at the minimum, you don't vote. At the minimum, you stay home. And at the furthest extent, you vote for the other side. Because the other side is the opposition. Whatever you want to say about them, we know that they're going to hold the first side accountable. They're going to challenge and oppose and degrade and diminish the side that we voted for. And yet, you see these people on Twitter all day, every day. It's like they're going through the stages of grief. And they're bargaining, they're in denial about it. They won't acknowledge the problem. They say, well, it's not really a war. Well, it's not boots on the ground. Well, it's not nation building. Well, Trump has been talking about a nuclear Iran for 40 years. Well, and so I went off the other day about this and I said, at the end of the day, you are not in control here. Okay, this is the new talking point that I've heard. This is what made me think of it. And pay attention, okay, because you're going to see this on Twitter. And you might already have, maybe you already have seen this on Twitter. The new line that they're all trying out that I've heard over and over again is they keep talking about the generational coalition, which has been squandered. Have you heard this one? I see this. And I've seen it with such regularity, with such frequency that I honestly think it is a true talking point. Like, this is something they cooked up in the group chats. It's an influenceable campaign or something like that. It's some kind of paid social campaign, or it's just one of these things that is just, this is the lingo of that clique, of that faction. But I see this on Twitter for the past couple weeks. You think about where we are. We're in this war with Iran. It's like the worst case scenario. It's just going so badly because we can't extricate ourselves from it. We can't leave. Gas prices are at an all-time high. It's going to crash a global economy. And you're thinking about how bad the situation is. And all they can say about it is this generational coalition has been squandered. Trump put together a generational coalition and it could have been used for one thing, and it's being squandered because of the war in Iran. And I don't like that. I don't really like how they're saying that, because it almost seems like it's taking away from the other problems. Like, war in Iran is bad in and of itself. War in Iran is bad because it's going to bankrupt the country. It's another forever war. We're going to build an Israeli empire. It's a betrayal of all the promises. It's America last. Like, there's so many things you could say about it in and of itself that they will not say. They're still downplaying it. They're still minimizing it. They're still minimizing the issue and saying, well, it's not a ground war. Well, Trump is going to handle this the right way. The only thing they can bring themselves to say about it is that the war is making Trump less popular, and that will prevent someone like Vance from succeeding in the future. And that is the problem with it. Is that not the implication? They're not saying this is a deep spiritual betrayal of MAGA. They're not saying this is, in principle, a betrayal of America First. They're not saying we're doing the bidding of Israel, that a foreign lobby brought us into this conflict. We've been suckered into it for their benefit at our expense. They won't say any of that. The most they'll say is, the war is going to make Trump unpopular, and then he can't do what he said he was going to do. And so there's this hint of they're still hanging on. They're still hanging on to this idea that Trump is who he said he was, that MAGA is what we thought it was, that Trump is still trying against every obstacle to do the right thing for, like, he's still our guy. His end game is still a total American victory. So that's one. I don't like that. They say, oh, the generational coalition is lost. It's like, bro, we're 1 month deep into the Iran war. Do you know how insane that is? Am I the only one that gets that? We are in the Iran war. You have the Iraq war. You had the Libyan war. You have the Syrian war. We're a month deep in the Iran war that Trump brought us into. And you're talking about a generational coalition. That's one. Number two, and here's maybe the more important point. Okay, the first one's a bit subtle. The more important point, and I tried to tell you this throughout 2024, and I've been telling you this throughout 2025, and listen closely, okay? Let me tell you a little something about that generational coalition. It isn't real, okay? Did Trump win the popular vote and the Electoral College? Yes. But what was the real generational coalition that came together in 2024? It was not a coalition of voters. The voters had nothing in common. You understand this, right? Who were the voters? It was a lot of Hispanics, and it was a lot of white people. And it was the podcast bros. It was guys like Joe Rogan, and it was guys like Tim Dillon and the comedians, and it was various people that were sick of wokeness, and it was apparently some Muslims and Arabs near Dearborn, Michigan, who were upset about Palestine, and it was leftists who sat out the election because of Biden's genocide in Gaza, and so on and so forth. But the real coalition in 2024 was happening on another strata. It was vertical, not horizontal. Okay, or rather, you're looking at the wrong latitude. I'll say it in that way. The generational coalition was not a latitude. It wasn't a horizontal down here of Mexicans and whites and, you know, black people that didn't like Venezuelan refugees. The coalition was up here, different latitude, different horizontal. The real generational coalition was all of the little tech money mobilized by J.D. Vance, David Sachs, Elon Musk, Andreessen Horowitz, so all the little tech people that wanted to supplant big tech. So all the little tech people, all the effective accelerationists that wanted their drone companies, their AI companies, their rocket companies to get the government contracts instead of Bezos rocket company and Anthropic's AI company and the other drone companies from private equity. It was the little tech. The other part of the coalition was the Israel lobby, good old-fashioned Israel lobby, the Jewish media that stood down and didn't oppose Trump, the donors like Miriam Adelson that donated $100 million, AIPAC, which was involved in 24, dethroning progressives and even trying to dethrone a conservative that voted against foreign aid to Israel. And it was Wall Street. It was the bankers in Wall Street, like Tim Mellon and Ken Griffin, who wanted the corporate tax rate permanently lowered, who wanted a Federal Reserve chairman who was going to aggressively cut interest rates to get the velocity of money going to grow the economy. That was the real generational coalition. And that is why in 2024, 60% of the money that Trump raised was raised from the big donors. And it was only a third that was raised from the small dollar donors. The real coalition was a moneyed coalition. It was a coalition of the interests that wanted to see Republicans come in and take over from Biden. That was the generational coalition. Now, to the extent that there was a media blitz, to the extent that Mark Zuckerberg stood down in 2024, to the extent that there were all of these vibes and people thought this was a movement and we were going to end wokeness and it was a reaction to Biden's auto pen, whatever you want to call it, that was a farce. It was a trick. It was a show that they put on for you. They were stimulating you. You were stimming. You were watching the color store, okay, you were watching flashing lights and bright colors and hyper pop, and you were being stimulated to go out and vote for this real generational coalition of interests. And so on the contrary, the generational coalition was not squandered. The generational coalition was used and then discarded. It was put together for a particular interest. That interest has already been served. Thank you, come again. They cut the corporate tax rate last year. They're working on the AI moratorium. Doge brought Palantir in through the back door in the Pentagon and in all the departments and agencies. And we're at war with Iran. So the generational coalition was brought together to do those things. Not, it wasn't brought together and then those things happened in spite of the real aspirations of the real coalition. No, the coalition was put together to do those things. Those things are being done. Now the voting bloc is exploding and they don't care. They don't care because they got what they wanted. So who is left holding the bag? Who is left waiting outside on the curb? Who is left hanging in all of this? It's you. You are the sucker, the voters that thought it was going to be a never-ending Creed concert, that thought we were bringing grunge back or whatever, that it was going to be a golden age and there's going to be smart cities on the blockchain and it was going to be Columbus Day and we'd all say Merry Christmas and we're going to get trannies out of girls soccer. You are left holding the bag saying, but Mr. Trump, what about our golden age? It's not a movie. That was never going to happen, okay? And so there's something so delicious about that. That you have all these people, they're still hanging on. And they're still hanging on. Our generational coalition has been squandered. You got raped. Your rapist got what they wanted, and now you are left hanging, used and abused, saying, I thought it was real love. I thought it was a real thing. Wrong. And that's what these people don't understand. They say they, because in their mind, the generational coalition was all of the posters on Twitter. And who are the posters? Jewish academics connected to Claremont? Next. Who are the other posters? Balding, Gen X, girl dads, cucks, people that care about the integrity of girls' sports, people that care about Columbus Day? People that are getting up on a stump speech at their school board meeting talking about, I'm proud to be white or something. You thought that was the generational coalition, numbnuts? They did. They thought that was the generational coalition, was a bunch of high BMI, balding girl dads and wife guys, a bunch of Gen X cucks. And they were going to put on their theme music. They were going to put on Linkin Park, and they were going to stroll into Washington, D.C., and they were going to shitpost with an A until, I don't know, they made Heritage America come back, until they made it 1990 through science or magic. Yeah, no, I hate to break it to you, but that's not politics. That's called wish casting, okay? That's called magical thinking. That isn't real. Okay, no, the posters are not in control of anything. They're not in control of anything, and they are not calling any shots, and they have no power, and they will never get what they want. Okay, the generational coalition were the billionaire oligarchs that put up the literal hundreds of millions of dollars in donations to make all this happen. And that's why they got their cabinet picks. That's why they got taken care of in the big, beautiful bill. That's why the State Department serves at their pleasure. Okay, that is how politics works. And this is something that people need to ingest and download on a fundamental level. What does that mean for all of us? It means that we need to have our own coalition. Okay, you cannot put your trust in a movement where you are the junior partner. You cannot place all of your faith and all of your hopes and wishes on a movement that doesn't answer to you, that doesn't value you, that isn't listening to you, that doesn't prioritize you. Then that is a different movement than in 2016. In 2016, the message was explicitly, this is about the forgotten men and women, and we're going to drain the swamp. And we're going to create a website called greatagain.org, and we're going to hire people from inside the country to come into DC and work in government. People forget that that was a thing, but it was. Google it. In 2016, the movement was premised on the idea that it was a populist takeover leveled against the deep state. It was a loaded gun pointed at the deep state, and it was the people and our leader, Trump. But a lot has changed. In 2016, 60% of the donations were small dollar donors. Now it's the inverse. In 16, Trump said, I'm not taking super PAC money. I'm not taking billionaire money. I'm a self-funder. I'm going to fund my own campaign. I don't have donors with me. It's me and my son, Barron, and that's it. It's me and my supporters. That was what the Trump rally was about. It was people power. He doesn't have the money. He doesn't have the establishment, the endorsements, but he had that people power, the excitement, the enthusiasm. That's what he represented. That's not the case anymore. And I tried to tell you that in 2024. It's different now. It's different. It's not the same. The value proposition is completely different. That was not the message in 24. And no one could say that it was. In 24, the message was, I'm running to get out of jail. I need as much money as possible. I need to be everything to everyone. Some people think we're getting mass deportations. Other people think we're stapling green cards to diplomas. Some people think they're getting the West Bank in a war with Iran. Other people think we're getting no new wars. Am I wrong? In 2024, he needed to be everything to everybody. That is how you get your generational coalition, because everybody was projecting onto him what they wanted. And that's why people in Dearborn, Michigan, read a rally with him thinking he was going to free Palestine. But then Trump would go to Mar-a-Lago and hug Netanyahu, who believed Trump was going to deliver to him the West Bank. And Trump would go to a rally or the RNC where they're holding up signs that say mass deportations. Then he would go on the All In podcast and say, we're going to staple green cards to the diplomas of every foreign student that comes here. He was everything to everybody because he needed every vote, every nickel, every dime to get elected by any cost to get out of jail. And so he did. And then the chips fell where they would. Cabinet members were picked. And from then on, we knew what we were going to get. It was only a matter of time. And now here we are. And these things are happening. They're deep. It started early. We got the big, beautiful bill. Everyone hated it. We got the Epstein cover-up. Everyone hated it. We got that they tried to sneak in that AI moratorium on regulations. Everyone hated it. Now we're getting a war with Iran. Everyone hates it. Then people say, Mr. Trump, you're squandering the coalition. Trump says, the coalition, I got out of jail. What are you talking about? He is getting the benefits conferred upon him by the presidency. He is getting legacy. He is building up his legacy for the history books. He's building a new White House next to the old one. He renamed the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America, literally leaving his mark on the map. He has these ambitions of territorial expansion, remaking the world in his image, and so on and so forth. All the things that he's done, remaking the Oval Office, the Rose Garden, turning it into a patio. The benefits are being conferred upon him, and in exchange, the benefits are being conferred upon the oligarchs. The people are holding the bag. You see? So no, the generational coalition wasn't squandered. It was a spook. It wasn't real. It was used up like a booster rocket and then discarded because the things they actually wanted achieved their escape velocity, to follow the analogy. The generational movement propelled Trump into office so that Trump could deliver for his backers. If he loses popularity and if, you know, little John Doyle and all those sad little heritage Americans, if they get their hearts broken in the process, hoping and wishing and dreaming, well, that's something that they're willing to accept. And this is something you got to keep in mind. When you're talking about the world empire of the United States, they're thinking in terms of decades and centuries and in hundreds of trillions of dollars. What is your complaint, citizen? Denizen of strip mall village? You live in a city which is really just like a glorified main street with a car dealership, a Holiday Inn Express, a Walmart, an Applebee's. Am I wrong? This is where you live. And lately, you're noticing it's getting a little too Mexican because the Mexicans are the migrant workers in the farms near your town or in the hospitality in your town or whatever. And you start saying, I don't like all these Mexicans in my town. You take a number and file a complaint at the help desk. I'm inconvenienced. I'm uncomfortable seeing these brown people in my Walmart, in my Applebee's, in my kids' high school or whatever. Do you think BlackRock, which has $20 trillion in assets under management, you think they care about that? Do you think that OpenAI, you think they care about that? Okay. Do you think Tim Mellon, do you think Jamie Dimon, who just built a skyscraper in New York City, do you think they care that you're inconvenienced? Who do you think brought them here? Why do you think they're here? And who brought them here? And who do they benefit? It's a new slave class brought in to replace the old one, you. They're being brought in by the elites. They're being brought in by the generational coalition because they make money, okay? Because that increases the profits of the oligarchs who funded the Trump generational coalition. So if you think that your provincial concerns from all the way out there in Nebraska or Iowa or Minnesota, you think they're reaching the imperial capital? So-and-so with two first names is mad that there's too many brown people in his neighborhood? They don't care. Because a pipeline needs to go through Saudi Arabia. Because a pipeline needs to go through the Middle East. Because the trade that goes through the Panama Canal needs to be charged and billed to a Panama controlled by the United States. And so on and so forth. So we have to think a little bit bigger. We have to think a little bit more globally. And we have to be a little more sober-minded about these things. You want to run the government? Become the government. Don't vote for Trump thinking he's going to come and save us. He's going to come down the golden escalator, which is metaphorical in many ways, rich in symbolism. He never came down the golden escalator. He never came down from his class to help us. We have to go up, okay? We have to actually ascend the escalator if we are going to take what we want. So that's the message. I know I'm kind of like, we're like an hour into the show already, but I keep seeing that message going around, and it couldn't be more emblematic. It couldn't be more definitive of how they don't get it. When they say our generational coalition got squandered, and I've been saying it in exactly that way, it's sort of sad. Your movement, my movement, to the extent that we were all part of MAGA and we have all these sentimental feelings about it, we have these attachments to it, this is all collateral damage. Getting us sentimental about it, nostalgic, wistful, emotional, that's all part of it. Getting us to emotionally invest, that's part of it. And you got to realize that in politics, there's just no place for those kinds of feelings. This is the biggest game in the world, and there's no room for crying. There's no room for sentimentality. There's no room for any of those kinds of feelings, only calculation. So I see these sad girl dads and wife guys on Twitter. What about our generational coalition? Mr. Trump, they honest to God thought a generational movement spawned in response to trannies playing soccer with their daughters and Columbus Day being renamed Indigenous Peoples Day, and because Disney Plus cast the wrong character in The Little Mermaid or something. I mean, that's literally what they thought it was. A guy like Matt Walsh, or that archetype, he really drives his daughter to soccer, watches Disney Plus with his daughter, and he thinks that is the world revolves around this, or at the minimum, the world of politics revolves around this. And it just doesn't. Sorry. It doesn't. So we have to think as an empire. You, me, we are citizens of the empire. Welcome to the American empire. We're in it. Yes, we have a global reach. No, that's not going to change. Yes, we have a massive amount of diversity, and we're going to have to live with that. Actually, we're going to have to be realistic. So we need a cutthroat mentality of increasing. You and me, citizens of the global empire, as heritage Americans, legacy, multi-generational, we have to take what is ours. It won't be given to us. No one's going to save us. No one is going to come and hand it down. We have to fight for it. We have to take what is ours. I'm so sick of all the doom and gloom. Are we going to win? Is it possible? Is America over? It's always sort of been over. We're born, we live, we die. We watch others die, we get sick. We don't get what we want. Life belongs to those. The empire belongs to those that show up and fight and win. And winning isn't easy. So that's how you have to do it. And that's how we have to approach politics. So don't get mad. Get even. Don't hate the game. Play the game. Get in the game. That's why I tell people, you want to get involved, be a college Republican, get on a campaign, be an intern in the administration, and start working your way up the ladder. I'll tell you something. Whether a Republican wins or whether a Democrat wins, there's going to be groypers in the next administration because we've taken care of things. We are outcome independent. And just like Anthropic has their people in this government, and just like OpenAI has their people, and just like other people have their people, we need to have our own people. Outcome independent in the administration. No loyalty to Republicans, no loyalty to Democrats, loyalty to ourselves, loyalty to the country. That's what it really means to engage in politics. So anyway, that's that.